And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan. It is very good to be with you this morning. When I think back to maybe the 1980s, it was just a way of life. Every day, my dad would go to town. He had a habit of having coffee, probably at the Dairy Queen in Frankston. And they had a paper machine out front. You don't even know what that is, do you? His favorite newspaper was not the Dallas Times Herald. It was the Dallas Morning News. And so he would go through the paper scouring for articles of interest. And some of them he would actually kind of earmark or note because he wanted me to read the articles. But I liked that about him. He was a very curious human being. And personally, and I think it's one of the best things that you can do for yourself is to become very curious. Always seeking and learning, especially if it's valuable and you can use it in a good way. Well, one day he brought an article to me and I looked it over and I was so intrigued by it. It was a story of a colonel in the Army. His name was Nick Rowe. And it said that Nick Rowe taught survival training and counterterrorism, I believe. And in this article, it had said that he was deceased. He was killed by some terrorists in the Philippine Islands. I think most likely it was, Muslim. But in the article, it briefly told about his experience as a POW in the Vietnam War. And I had learned that he had written a book called 5 Years to Freedom. This book, I kind of set out, this is before the internet, by the way, but I set my mind that I was going to buy this book. And I think it took me maybe 3 or 4 weeks to get my hands on a paperback copy. And the title of the book was called 5 Years to Freedom. It is absolutely one of my most favorite reads of all time. I mean, it'll rip your guts out. But in the book, he wasn't given what's called great nutrition. No. They had given him what's called polished rice. That's what you and I would call, you know, white rice today, which I was raised on rice. So to me, rice is kind of a way of life. But if you're living under the tremendous stress of being a captive prisoner and you're being tormented by your captors, I would guess that you're going to kind of burn through your nutrients that you have in your body at a much faster rate. And of course, he developed a condition called beriberi. Now, beriberi supposedly comes from the Swahili African dialect, meaning I can't, I can't. So you kind of image in your mind, there's a person that has beriberi that's a severe vitamin B1 deficiency, most likely because two or three things. Number one, your diet is just not providing you the vitamin B1 or the thiamine that you need. Or you're consuming what's called a high carbohydrate diet, which I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking that's the average typical American diet. Well, you ain't kidding. You're right. Very high in carbohydrates. And because your body requires vitamin B1 to help process carbohydrates for energy production, that's one of the things it does, you might be kind of burning through what you have because you don't store a lot of it for a long time. Your body kind of has this short-term storage mechanism for vitamin B1. I believe the liver plays a most profound role. But you've got to have B1 to regulate the nervous system. Part of the nervous system that I'm intrigued by is called the autonomic nervous system. This is all the healing and the repairs and deep sleep and more healing and more repairs. But you've got to have the autonomic nervous system so your heart can beat and so you can breathe at night. That just literally millions of intricate healing and reactions take place because of the autonomic nervous system. Well, part of the strength of the autonomic nervous system is based on how much B1 you are able to feed and nourish your body with. Okay? Well, at one point in the story of Colonel Nick Rowe, one of his captors became very, very concerned about him because he looked at him and he had horrible fluid and swelling in the lower half of his body. That's really probably about as much detail as a person needs. Now, in the real world, oh yeah, I see people every day with swelling in their legs. And they become physically weak. They just can't get up. And that's what beriberi means in Swahili. It means, I can't, I can't. So you think about a person that has beriberi, in their mind, they can say, I literally have to walk across the street to get to where I'm going. But they just collapse in the middle of the road as they're walking across the street. And they literally say, beriberi. That means, I can't, I can't. They cannot get up. They are completely exhausted. Now, the solution for Nick Rowe is one of the guards was kind enough to say, no more white rice for you. They're going to give him brown rice or the unpolished rice. Because the brown rice, it has probably 10 times more vitamin B1 than white rice does. And so, I remember also, he said that he became very, very dark. His skin became very dark, and I need to kind of look that up and see what the connection is. Even though he was under the canopy of the jungle, his skin became very, very dark, but he became so weak, he literally could not get up and move because they had to take him to, his re-education classes by the camp communist. Anyway, I was looking up an article, and if you've never heard of beriberi, here's what I want you to think of for a second. And I have an individual in mind. I'm not going to name the person's name, but let me have a go with this. It's been well studied that your body requires a significant amount of B1 to maintain the integrity of your nervous system. And so what would be some of the signs of an individual that's low in B1? Well, number one, insomnia. They just can't fall asleep. But to me, that makes sense. If you cannot drift off into a deep, peaceful sleep, we may want to consider that your body has an issue with vitamin B1. Now, if you've been watching and following the news on the COVID-19, you know as well as I do, if you have diabetes, you have definitely put yourself at higher risk for having side effects from the COVID-19. That's just the way it is. But interestingly enough, quite often diabetics have been shown to be very deficient in vitamin B1. You gotta have B1 in order to convert sugar into energy. And so when you have a lack of B1, you do not make the energy that you need. Okay, is that making sense? Well, one of the top symptoms of a B1 deficiency is you have swollen lower legs. Now, I look at people's legs all the time, and that's one of the things I'm checking for. Do they have fluid? Are they retaining fluid? Do they have edema? Is it pitting edema? You know, how tender are the legs? Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out if you push over the shin bone and a person screams in pain, they got just a little bit of inflammation and swelling. But the other thing is, there's a very significant loss of a person's muscle mass when they're low in vitamin B1. They have the hardest time walking. Even as something as simple as getting up out of a chair is very, very challenging. Now, yesterday, my sister and I, we watched a gentleman push a wheelchair. He had a couple of dogs following him. And his situation looked, it looked very, very dire. I mean, it was just one of those things, you know. You know, where you feel sorry for a person, but I think he was trying to cross the street to get to a convenience store. But he looked very drawn and gaunt. He looked like he had lost muscle mass. He could just barely, barely move. I mean, you've seen somebody pushing a shopping cart before, where they literally just could barely shuffle one foot in front of the other while they're hanging on to the bar so they don't fall. Well, if you can't get up out of a chair, and you almost have Parkinson-like tremors, shakes, You might actually be low in B12. I mean, vitamin B1, which is thiamine. I know that B12 and thiamine, they work together as a team. One of the things that I read years ago, if a person is very low in thiamine, which is B1, they have the hardest time absorbing vitamin B12. It has been well studied that as you age, you literally start to lose your memory. You find yourself, well, you don't find yourself. Somebody else tells you, hey, you're repeating yourself over and over again. Now, I came across this one article, and this is just one study, and when I look at this, oh, this is so intriguing to me. This study was done, oh, where's my reference on here? Oh, I'm not going to look that up. It'll take me forever to find the reference on that one anyway. But I'm looking at an article written on recommended optimal nutrient intakes. And this was a study of 1,009 dentists and their wives. Okay, that was who was included. They were evaluated for daily thiamine intake. And so this is just vitamin B1. Those subjects having the least number of signs or symptoms associated with illness or degenerative diseases, that's just a fancy way of saying the cream of the crop, the healthiest people in the study, they, on average, took 9 milligrams a day of thiamine. Okay, that's what their intake was. Which, if we kind of work it out mathematically, that is 8 times, approximately, of the RDA, or the recommended daily allowance for this nutrient. Now, this is just an observational study, but that's interesting. The healthiest people, they consumed 8 times more thiamine than those that had all the health problems. Well, I was discussing with Barbara not that long ago, because she has a very keen interest in the study of tuberculosis or TB. But currently, there's 15.2 million active cases of tuberculosis in the United States. Worldwide, though, oh my goodness. You know how many cases of tuberculosis there are? 2 billion. Yeah, you're probably thinking you're making that up. No, that's what the World Health Organization says in the CDC. 2 billion people. So what is the number one predictor of someone that has an issue with COVID-19? Who's gonna die? It's those that are tuberculosis positive. Well, you know as well as I do, tuberculosis is an opportunistic bacterium. It tends to crop up, you know, in greater significance during the winter months. Yeah, how about that? And so if you're at risk of having issues, well, I'm going to stop right here for just a second. I read the nuttiest article on the internet. I can't believe I did it, but I did. It said, what does a doctor say are the top 7 places that you need to steer clear from if you don't want to catch COVID-19? I thought, oh, man, this is going to be I already know what it's going to say. See, I was already predetermined in my mind. The article was going to say, if you do not want to come down with COVID-19 and get sick and die, where should you stay away from? And I already had it worked out in my mind. Well, I said to myself, Roy, they're going to say, stay away from the emergency room at all costs, because that's where all the sick people are. And then they're going to say, don't go to an urgent care clinic if you don't need to, because that's going to be number 2. And then number 3 is just any contact with a hospital facility. That'd be number 3. Then probably number 4 on my list. If you don't have to go to a nursing home facility where there's people that are sick and have upper respiratory tract infections, then steer clear. And then I thought to myself, well, what's going to be number 5? Well, it's going to be medically related. It's going to be some clinic. Well, the article, the doctor that wrote the article said, if you don't want to get sick, well, they didn't say that. What they said was, steer clear of outdoor eating places. And I thought to myself, really? The number 2 on the list was stay clear of indoor eating restaurants. And then number 3 on the list was don't go through the drive-through of a coffee shop because people have germs. And I just kept going and going, and I thought to myself, he's got to be kidding me. And then they said, don't have a family picnic. Don't go to a park where people are celebrating a birthday. It just kept going. Couldn't be further from the truth. Folks, I'll tell you right now, if you don't want to get sick, don't go where sick people go. It's like anything else. There's a huge difference in you coming across one or two viral particles from somebody that sneezed 10 minutes earlier and you coming in contact with literally millions and millions of viruses that can overwhelm your immune system. So if you don't want to get sick, don't go where the sick people are. Now, just a little bit earlier, before I came on the air, I was looking at an article about how to test for toxic bacteria. Well, the test is very simple. It's a breath test. And you may not know this, but they can very accurately determine who has infection in their small intestine and who doesn't, just based on the quality or the toxicity of a person's breath. They can measure particles. And so I know the world has gone bonkers, and everybody thinks that wearing a mask is going to be the key to longevity and great health. No, no, no. Couldn't be further from the truth. I realize I have a dissenting view here. Your lungs are one of the largest organs of detoxification you have in your body. Just think about it for a moment. Even if you haven't heard that toxic waste comes out of your lungs when you breathe out, it's still true, whether you know that or not. You probably think, hey, I just breathe oxygen in and oxygen goes out. No, 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 it's more complicated than that. But quite a bit of toxic waste that's not good for you, it leaves you every time that you exhale and you breathe out. And so in this test that I was looking up, all they have to do is just get a sample of your breath and they can determine if you have an infection, because they can measure the type of toxic gases that are coming out. Are you with me on that? Now, I don't have the other article in front of me, but there's a type of pneumonia called pneumococcal pneumonia. They have vaccines for it. If you want to do that, if that's your thing, well then, you know, you can do that. But I would rather use my energy finding ways to make you stronger and to help you heal and to get your strength back. Well, that's why I'm talking about vitamin B1 today. B1 is so critical to improving the function of your nervous system, your heart, your lungs, making sure that you can generate energy. This doesn't have to be a deep conversation. Without energy, your body cannot heal and repair. If you're chronically tired, exhausted all the time, if you say to yourself, you know what, I really don't even eat sugar or carbohydrates. I just eat kind of a paleo-type diet, but you go to the medical doctor and your blood sugar comes back high, well, technically, you don't have to have sugar to make your blood sugar go high. All you have to do is be chronically under very significant emotional stress. So when you're under stress, your body literally works through its reserves of vitamins very, very quickly. And if those don't get replaced, then what happens? You have a situation where your body starts to break down, where you start to have symptoms. Now, the reason why I mention that breath test is because I have so many, whether it's the husband or the wife, they explain to me on what the breath of their spouse is like. I won't use all the words they do, but they're really concerned because they can tell, hey, something has really changed in my husband or something's really changed in my wife because their breath is just horrid. Well, one of the aspects of having low amounts of vitamin B1, you know, thiamine, is that you get this overgrowth of bacterial small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is so intriguing and so interesting. You mean the immune system cannot rise to the occasion to overcome a bacterial infection or even a viral infection if you're low in B1? Yeah, that's true. And so, if you're wearing a mask all the time, and I see people going for walks. My nephew was telling me that he went to Colorado recently, and the people that were on the walking around in the snow and hiking, skiing, they were wearing masks. Of course, I don't know. Maybe they were doing that to keep warm. I don't know. And so, to me, let me just cover the deficiency symptoms. And these are the same symptoms that are very common among COVID-19 or coronavirus patients. The two of them just work hand in hand, so you tell me what you think this means. If you're low in B1 or you have the symptoms of coronavirus, you have a loss of smell and taste. Did you know that's a symptom of a B1 deficiency? Tingling of the feet and the hands. Now, some people might call this a neuropathy, where you feel like you have a sock bunched up under your foot when you're walking. Or maybe you have tingling. Insomnia. Do you know that constipation is very common among those that have the coronavirus? Well, it's also one of the most common, you know, physical signs of somebody that has a B1 deficiency. But I think what I'm into is all the people that I've seen that have called me on the phone and have come to see me that said, hey, I had the coronavirus back in June, I had it in May, or I had it in July, and I cannot get well. I have this overwhelming, profound weakness, and I cannot get my strength back. Well, that's not good either. Have you ever heard of somebody having fibromyalgia? This continual pain from their muscles. It's almost like the muscles are kind of swimming in a sea of their own metabolic waste, and they have fluid, just like I mentioned earlier. When someone has fluid in their legs or they have edema, that can be one of the most common signs of a B1 deficiency. Well, I remember years ago, I had a woman come to see me. And when I examined her, she was talking about how she'd had fibromyalgia for like 12 or 13, 14 years. And I remember this turned so fast, it kind of beat my expectations. But within a couple of days, all the fibromyalgia pain went away. And that was one of the main things that we did. All I tried to do was try to get her off sugar, because sugar depletes your body of thiamine. There's plenty of studies that show that every time, everybody's different here, but when some people drink coffee or tea or soft drink or a sugary beverage, boy, that depletes them of B1 so fast. But this woman with fibromyalgia, all her pain went away in about 2 to 3 days just from taking vitamin B1. I've never forgotten that before. So if you have a difficulty walking, if it's hard just to go to the bathroom, get up and down. You know, when I looked up the drugs on this, one of the most common drugs of all time that causes the B1 deficiency is metformin. I hadn't even got to the diuretics that people take for heart issues. That definitely does it right there. But there's a group of people that they tout, if you want to live a long time, take metformin. Well, metformin causes a deficiency of vitamin B1. And without B1, you are most prone to infections of the body. Isn't that interesting how when your body becomes weak, that's when you're most vulnerable? What do I want for you? I want you to become stronger. How are we going to do that? Well, knowledge is power. If you understand that drinking 16 cups of coffee a day may be sucking the nutrients out of you, then you have a choice to make. What am I going to do here? I just looked at the clock. I've been talking for 20 minutes. If you want to join me on the radio and ask a question, please feel free to do so. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I'll get you right in and I'll try to answer whatever questions you have. I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas. Today doesn't even seem like Saturday to me. Maybe Thursday or Sunday, but not Saturday. It's weird how that works, isn't it? When I drove in this morning, 29 degrees, and by the time I got to Mount Selman, it was 41. I thought, how could there be 12 degrees difference? But there was. Okay. Back to the program. Really, the more that I say this, I find it hard to believe that a vaccine is going to radically change the health of Americans. I wish it was that simple. I listened to a lecture, And in this lecture, they were discussing how the vaccine's made. We'll cover that in just a second. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for your call.
Oh, well, thank you for taking that call. I've been wanting to know what I could do about dry eyes. My doctor says that everyone has dry eyes, especially as you age. I not only have dry eyes, but he says I have the beginnings of macular degeneration, and I understand there's nothing you can do about that. So he has me on Restasis, and it has helped tremendously. I have changed prescription glasses 3 times now, and each time my eyes have gotten better with the Restasis. So here recently, the Restasis hasn't been working very well, and I'm wondering, what am I doing wrong?
Well, I've got a weird story to tell you.
Okay.
I was reading the other day that in the gut, this is where you harbor all the beneficial bacteria and microbes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading this article, it was saying all the lubricants for your skin and for your lungs are made by the gut bacteria. And I thought, this is interesting right here. But the other aspect mm-hmm. of the article I had never come across before, but I found it so intriguing. They said there's so many studies on what are called omega-3 fatty acids. And so just in simplicity, mm-hmm. you've heard of somebody taking cod liver oil, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, they said in this article that they noticed that when people would take cod liver oil, maybe the benefits weren't so much for the heart and to prevent a stroke like they've been touted in the past. But they said maybe what happens is when you consume things like cod liver oil, that all of a sudden that changes how the bacteria that live in your gut start making and manufacturing lubricants for the body. And I thought, well, that's fascinating. And so I did mm-hmm. another literature search, and I found out that women that complained of dry eyes, if they would optimize their intake of omega-3 fatty acids, that would improve the body's ability to make lubricants for the eyes.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Gulf, and we used to eat lots of fish. And, of course, now I'm in East Texas, and we don't go fishing like we used to back in the day.
Oh, I bet you miss that, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
So what was your favorite fish that you would catch?
Trout.
Oh, like sand trout?
Yes.
Or speckled trout?
Yes.
Oh, those are so good, aren't they?
Speckled trout, yes. Yes. Yes, it's been a while. Anyway, those days are over, and now I have a little pond, and we raise fish, but...
but not speckled trout that are rich in omega-3s, right?
No, but I do have some bass, so I get to have bass every now and again, and little panfish. But anyway, I did have a stroke in my eye, in 2015.
Well, I think there's 2 or 3 ways that we need to kind of tackle this. Number one, my main concern right now, you've got these 2 issues. If you've got the potential for macular degeneration, that is not good. We want to try to tackle that. Let me tell you some of the things that I mm-hmm. see that work all the time. Number one, I know this sounds weird, but like last night I went out to I have a big thing of kale growing in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I cut some kale, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to try juicing this stuff, see what happens.
I like juicing kale.
Oh, good stuff. You talk about great stuff. If I could only have 1 or 2 things to use to totally reverse macular, I'd say, number one, if I can convince a person to give up refined sugar and carbohydrates, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could eat 2 things, just Brussels sprouts and kale. Now, for simplicity, a lot of times I'll use supplements where it's dehydrated kale and Brussels sprouts, and that's all it is. And that's a member of the cruciferous family. But I have had so many cases of macular just completely restore themselves and disappear and go away just with that, just with Brussels sprouts and kale. I mean, you got nothing to lose. And so what you're doing is you're flooding your eyes with the very nutrients they need to repair with. The other thing I was going to say, and I think we're on the same page, In this study, it was saying that one of the ways that you help improve the lubricity of the eyes is just consuming foods that are very rich in the omega-3s. And since you don't live on the coast any longer, you can't really go fishing for yellowfin tuna. You know, but you would if you could. And so, what do you think about taking good essential fatty acids from the omega-3 family?
Oh, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you can supplement with that. The other thing that I see that plays a benefit, it's called wheat germ oil. So if I move to the top of the list, what I would do if it were me, I'd say number one, supplementally, if you can take a form of kale and Brussels sprouts every single day, usually I'll give about six capsules a day, sometimes nine, if a person has macular degeneration, because you want to turn that around. There's two forms, dry and wet. Wet is when the blood vessels start getting all gooey and breaking down. That ain't good. So
yeah, no, it's not the wet. It's not the wet.
Oh, this can be completely reversed. And so consuming omega-3 fatty acids, somehow or another, that enables the bacteria to start making more eye lubrication. I know that sounds weird, but that's what the studies are showing, so I dig that.
Well, that's just fine. I had me some Brussels last night.
Oh, way to go.
Yeah, I haven't had kale in a while, but I've been craving it, though.
talk about something that can grow like crazy here in East Texas. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, another thing, I tend to have blood vessels burst in my legs and just, you know, get golf ball size. And it just happens. Well, used to be, you know, I had one, and then 10, 12 years went by, and I had another. But this last few years, it seemed to happen more often. And wonder if that's related in any way.
It's got to be. And all these things are giving you indications of what's going on internally. So Roy's not trying to pick on you at all, but we need to find a way to really fortify your vessels now. If I tried to oversimplify this, I'd say number one, the human body does not make or manufacture vitamin C. We just don't have that enzyme like certain animals do. And so you've got to get a certain amount of vitamin C from the food that you're eating. Now, if I could just use one or two things to stop the blood vessels from bursting, it would probably have to be zinc and vitamin C.
Okay.
You can purchase vitamin C that's extracted from things like organic oranges and lemons and broccoli and things like that. But we've got to stop the blood vessels from bursting. And so some of the things that I take a look at, number one, the human body requires a certain amount of zinc just to make repairs to the blood vessels. Zinc plays a very interesting role in cleaning the blood vessels of old damaged proteins or bent proteins that are deranged and that aren't useful. And so in one study, when they took people that had very, very severe arterial weakness and they gave them zinc, all of a sudden a lot of the bleeding and the burst blood vessels started to go away and diminish. Now, you can't just turn this around in one day, but I would imagine if you stuck with a regimen of zinc and vitamin C for like a good, I don't know, maybe a year or so, you would probably see benefits that nothing else would do.
Okay. I just started taking zinc and vitamin C, actually, 2-3 weeks ago.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, under normal circumstances, let me ask you just a very simple, straightforward question. Would you call yourself a very high-energy person, or would you say that your energy has room for improvement?
Ridiculously high energy.
So you are continually moving and doing stuff. You can't sit still.
Yes. I can't sit still.
Well, what would you say is your number one weakness when it comes to health?
Number one weakness when it comes to health.
I mean, do you have a sweet tooth?
Well, yeah, I tend to eat garbage.
Well, if you were to just focus on meat and vegetables, and that could be simple as eating flounder. You can season it just about any way that you want.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
What would happen if you
I actually actually skinned a goose the other day, and it was awful good because it brought me back to the days when, you know, we used to go hunting and bring back, you know, wild game and whatnot.
But now, what did you say that you ate the other day?
Thrilled.
What did you eat the other day?
A goose.
A goose? What did
I
you
made
say?
Made a goose.
Where'd you get the goose?
I raise it.
Oh, my goodness.
I raised the goose. I called it Christmas goose.
Well, how did you prepare it?
Well, I roasted it.
Did you cook it in the oven just like you would a turkey?
Well, no, I cooked it in a roaster, an electric roaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what did everybody say about it?
Well, you know, they're not used to eating game. I grew up eating game. I grew up eating wild duck and fish and all that kind of good stuff. But
did they turn their nose up at it? They did? Okay.
They ate it, but, you know, they're not used to it. They're used to store-bought stuff.
Oh, I know.
You know?
If it's a boneless, skinless chicken breast, they're used to that. But anything else, they'd go, what is this?
Yeah, but me, it was like going back home. It was going back home.
Did you dip it in hot water before you plucked it?
No, I was plucking it outside and under a cold faucet water.
Oh, so your fingers were numb the whole time you were plucking the feathers, right?
Well, it was a nice day. It wasn't too bad.
Oh, good.
It wasn't too bad at all. Yeah.
Well, here's two or three things I want to think of. And just be willing to question anything I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
The number one reason why macular degeneration starts in the first place, and I think it's important to know this, is because you're not providing enough oxygen to the eyes. If you do not deliver enough oxygen to the requirements of your eyes, then your body says, okay, we've only got one option here. We've got to grow some new blood vessels to deliver more oxygen. The problem is, if those brand new blood vessels grow over the macula of the eye, that causes blindness. That is not good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The reason why I talked about either juicing kale or eating things like Brussels sprouts is because they give you oxygen.
Okay.
Now, are you pretty physically active? Do you like walk every day? And
I do. But I've been having issues with, you know, my legs having the little bursted vessels and whatnot. So it seems like every time I get to exercising, like I really enjoy, I have an issue. You know, I'll have a blood vessel burst or something. Or like
how
right
painful
now,
are they?
A muscle that really, how painful?
Mm-hmm.
Usually not painful at all, but there have been a couple of times here recently where they're pretty painful. Lately, I've been wearing those Ted hose, you know, to kind of hold them in.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you have any varicose veins?
I have one that I've had since I was 10 years old on the back of my leg, on the calf, you know. But I believe I was hit by a car, you know, right on the back of my knee.
That would do it.
So I think that's been there because of that. I mean, it's been there forever. Otherwise, you know, the tops of my legs have little spiders, and that's about it.
Do you have any problem with fluid that builds up in your legs, like edema or swelling?
I used to, not anymore. This year, I've really been walking a lot, and that's changed as a result of the walking, I do believe.
I think if I could talk into eating one thing, I'd say try for the next month just eating one apple a day. Obviously, if you could get an apple that's organic, I'd still wash it with soap and water or clean it with vinegar or something like that to make sure all the residue was off of it. But apples are one of the most interesting ways to change the fluid dynamics of the eyes and the blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you eat an apple with a skin on it?
I love my apples with skin on them. What I've been doing, though, maybe I stick them in the oven or the microwave with a little cinnamon, and I like them heated up like that. I wonder if I should eat them raw.
I think you should eat them raw, because if you eat them raw, you preserve all the vital life force. The stuff has living enzymes. I know you can't see it with the naked eye, but you can put everything to the test. I had a woman maybe 2 weeks ago She was telling me the top priority that we've got to work on today, Dr. Morgan, is my blood pressure is out of control. We've got to fix it now. I said, okay, why don't we do a 3-day apple fast? You can eat all the apples you want for 3 days. She calls me within just a few days, I'm going to say a week at the longest, and said, oh my goodness, my blood pressure is like perfect now. My body's been able to completely recalibrate and rebalance the situation. So anytime that you're kind of in a bind of some kind, you might want to have your body kind of recalibrate itself, and apples are one of the ways of doing that. I've got to admit, it's like a very cheap remedy. Well, I don't know about super cheap. I've seen the price of Fuji apples. But if you bought 8 Fuji apples that were organic and you paid $5 or $6, that's cheap compared to getting sick.
Yeah,
I would not cook the apples. I'm not trying to pick on you, but if you would just eat them raw, you could literally have 6 to 8 apples today, or more if you wanted to. Every time you're hungry, eat an apple. See what happens to your body. You've got nothing to lose. But I'm really concerned about the fluid dynamics and the conditions of the blood vessels of your eyes. And so if you made a concerted effort to have kale and Brussels sprouts every single day, now, yes, there are supplements that I use all the time that are just based on that principle right there, but I have never seen anything that works for macular like that does. And you've got to get the option up. So.
Well, good. Now, what would you say about short-term memory loss, like that transient global amnesia? My husband seems to have a bout of it every now and again.
Is he taking any drugs of any kind by prescription?
Absolutely not. He is the healthiest horse around.
Well, then here's 2 or 3 things that we got to look at. One of the reasons why there's global amnesia, I know this is not the same one, but I'm just kind of referring to an article. Global amnesia means, oh my goodness, who am I? I have forgotten where I live. How do I drive home? Is this my car? You know, you just don't remember that stuff. But there's a high correlation between that and somebody taking a statin drug. I mean, I couldn't make this stuff up if I wanted to. And so people, I had a neighbor one time, she completely forgot who she was, and it was only after she took Lipitor for maybe 7 or 8 months. Well, it took them a long time to figure it out, which I hate that. But just coming off that cholesterol-lowering drug, you got to remember that the brain is designed to rejuvenate itself. And I know there's a lot of factors with this, but one of the reasons why I started talking about vitamin B1 or thiamine is because, number one, when somebody's low in it, and of course I'm looking at my sheet right here, oh my goodness, they have have you ever heard the term confabulation?
Yes, of course.
Well, confabulation kind of means that a person tells you something they believe to be true, but maybe it really didn't happen. They may have kind of made up a memory. Have you ever seen somebody do that?
I've suspected such.
I have too, among family members.
But
anyway, to make a long story short, but you get all that stuff just when you're low in vitamin B1. You've got to have B1 and B12 to cause the brain to be able to repair itself. And so when you're low in B1 or B12, the brain actually begins to shrink, and you start having memory loss issues.
Wow, okay.
That's why I kind of hit the drugs. So drugs like metformin, any type of blood pressure medication that contains a diuretic, that's very famous for causing loss of B vitamins in addition to minerals.
Well, fortunately, he doesn't take a doggone thing. He's healthy and has never taken anything.
Oxygen is still one of the key issues when it comes to memory loss. What studies usually show is there's some degree of plaque or debris that builds up in the brain that doesn't go away. How old is your husband?
Well, he's almost 70. He's a year and a half away. Actually less than a year and a half away. But, you know, he's a nurse, and he works wearing the doggone mask, so maybe wearing a mask isn't all that good for him.
Well, I think we're going to find that oxygen levels are lower in people that wear the mask. And I realize there's a time and a place for everything, but if you don't have to wear one, don't wear one. But he's got to work, doesn't he?
Yes, and right now he's off of work because of the transient global amnesia.
Well, how long has he had it?
Well, it just started. It just started this past weekend.
Well, obviously over the radio, I can't kind of figure that story out, but I can tell you some of the things I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, number one, there's a fat-soluble vitamin called benfotiamine. I'm going to spell it for you.
Okay.
B-E-N-F-O-T-I-A-M-I-N-E.
Okay, if he's so not, it's not Fiamin with a T-H, it's T-I.
Well,
okay.
I think so. I've been known to misspell one or two items. So,
okay.
Benfotiamine, I think, is the correct. If I miss the H, forgive me. If he could start taking about 300 milligrams of that a day, let's see if we start to see some rejuvenation of the brain function.
Okay.
Does he have a habit of walking every day?
Well, yes.
Does he, like, go for a two-mile walk?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay. Well, he needs to start then. There was a study that showed when memory loss began, if they could walk for a minimum of 2 miles a day, it was been shown to greatly enhance memory. The other thing, and I know this is kind of cruel, but in laboratory settings, they'll take rats, and they purposely try to cause plaque to form in their brain so they can test a drug or a substance to see if it'll promote the memory coming back. And the way they test them is they run them through a maze. And so in this one study I'm thinking of, what they did was they caused tremendous plaque to build up in the rat's brain so they couldn't remember, you know, who they were or what they were doing as they would work through the maze, if there's such a thing. I might be making the story a little bit thicker than what it really is. But in the study, they found out, oh, my goodness, we just found a substance that removes plaque from the brain and opens up the blood vessels. You know what that substance was? It was resveratrol. You ever heard of resveratrol?
Yes, but I can't think of why.
Well, it's going to be found in the skins of darkly colored grapes.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of times if I see a person that has some degree of memory loss, I try to get them to take supplemental resveratrol as one of the ways to try to reestablish better blood flow throughout the brain.
Okay.
So those are several ideas right there.
Super.
Okay. Listen, I'm rooting for you. I wish you the very, very best.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your time today.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If I looked on my chart of a vitamin B1 deficiency, let me see if I can find this. Where, Doug? Okay, right here. Let's go to the phone lines first. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan.
Hi. Thank you for your phone call.
No, thank you for being there. I have a son and a brother that work out in construction and, you know, in warehouses and stuff. And their hands crack, you know, greatly. I was wondering if there was, you know, anything that you could suggest that they could put on their hands?
Well, one thing that they can take internally, they have what's called NOX, unflavored gelatin.
Oh, okay.
I think the other day I was in the store and I looked on the shelf and it came in a small box like a box of Jell-O.
Yes.
And I can't remember if it had 4 packets or 5 packets. Who cares?
Okay. Right.
But, you know, I've seen many people take and just pour that into a cup of herbal tea or water, stir it, and just drink it down. But that's what their hands are made of. And if you're lacking enough gelatin or collagen, they will break down quite a bit quicker.
Okay. Great.
Now, in the meantime, oh, my goodness, if we could, the simple experiment. The moment they get home from work after they wash their hands, most likely their work is just stripping all the lubrication from their skin. And so one of the ways of replacing that is to just go for unfiltered extra virgin olive oil. And if they can just let the skin drink that up, that's going to be a game changer if we can do that for a month or two.
Okay.
The gelatin that they take from like Knox gelatin, or if you want to take a form of collagen, you could do that also. That is what's going to retain some of the moisture. Now, all the lubrication for their hands, that's made by gut bacteria. And so if they eat things that are high in fiber, like an apple, an orange, of course, I'm a huge fan of things like Bubby's sauerkraut, because I think that's how you really start reconditioning the lining of the gut and encouraging beneficial microbes to really grow where they can make all these lubricants that we need.
Yes. Yes. I've been drinking a kombucha, I drink a small, you know, half a cup every day.
I bet you're addicted to it, aren't you?
Yeah, I really like it.
I listened to my sister yesterday. She was saying she's addicted to kombucha.
Yeah, I drink it first thing in the morning on an empty stomach.
Which flavor do you like the best?
Oh,
or do you make your own? Oh, pomegranate.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I love that stuff.
You're like a genius. Pomegranate is one of the greatest things of all time to rejuvenate the body.
Yes, yes. You've told me about, you had me on the beet smoothie thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that pomegranates were in season, I grab a, you know, half a cup or so and put it in there also.
Oh, that is so smart.
Yeah,
stuff tastes like tastes good too, doesn't it?
Yes, I just grind up, you know, seeds and all. People say, oh, pomegranates are hard to eat, you know, because all those tiny little seeds, I just grind them all up. I mean,
and just take them down?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, would you say that you've seen a difference in how you feel since you started consuming pomegranate?
Yes. Yes, I do feel better.
You know, that one study that I came across, I know I read on the radio months ago, but it showed, and it was only in men that had heart attacks, but they showed that they were released from the hospital 4 days sooner if all they did was give them some pomegranate juice. And I thought to myself, dude, if that was a drug, they would have it on every billboard in America saying, hey, if you have a loved one that has a stroke or heart attack, put them on pomegranate juice.
Mm-hmm.
But pomegranates rejuvenate the body.
Right. So would that work, pomegranate juice, would that work on like the Bell's palsy symptoms? Or those attacks?
I don't know the answer to that. Usually what I'm thinking of with Bell's palsy, there has been a viral infection of that cranial nerve. It's caused paralysis. And so what we do, or what I would recommend, start doing things to help flood the body with nutrients to help the body overcome. And so, just like I mentioned earlier today, if a person is low in vitamin B12, you can't get the nerves to repair themselves. And so this would be at least one, and it's a water-soluble vitamin. There's like no way on God's green earth it can cause any problems from an overdose. But the nervous system becomes much weaker. It's hard to rejuvenate when you're low in vitamin B12.
Okay.
Years ago, I read an article. Have you ever heard, there's an autoimmune disease called myasthenia gravis. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Well, let's put it this way. If somebody has it, they are so physically weak, even taking their hand to scratch the tip of their nose is a major chore, because they go, man, my arms are so heavy, I can't do it. Well, there was this concentration camp at the end of World War II where they rescued some American Air Force pilots.
Yes.
And they all had myasthenia gravis. Well, guess what they did to cure them of myasthenia gravis? They had them eat 1 pound of calf liver a day for, I'm going to say, 3 weeks. And it showed the highest rate of reversal of that disease. But then again, dude, calf liver is like the greatest source of all time of B12.
Yes, I love it. I always have.
You may be the only woman on the planet that does.
I know. Right?
Well, when's the last time you've had calf liver?
Well, I like to go to Beverly's, and I've been there. Well, it must have been about 2 weeks now, but I was going kind of often there. At least once a week, you know, try to get it in once a week.
The gentleman that owns that shopping center, he came to see me not that long ago, and he was telling me all about it, but Beverly's has been like a good client of his. That's here in Jacksonville, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, I know you know that.
Yes.
And so one of the ways that you kind of get through this is anything that you do that encourages beneficial bacteria. So when you eat you know, pomegranates. Oh, my goodness, that and blueberries and apples. Huge at causing good microbes to grow.
Yes.
I think I cut you off. Is that all?
No, I just forgot. Oh, I tried to take B12 years and years ago. And it made me nauseous. And I never tried taking it again.
Well, if there's this, the safest form to take is probably called methylcobalamin, and you can get a sublingual tablet and just suck on that.
Okay.
Let it just dissolve under your tongue right there by your sublingual artery and vein, and that way you kind of bypass your digestive tract.
Okay.
And so Sounds good. Methylcobalamin.
Okay.
All right.
See, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call today. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. May God bless you.
Thank you much. Bye-bye. All right, there's time for a quick phone call. About 3 minutes left. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Okay, real quickly, what do I do about a UTI?
Well, I know what I would do. Number one, you've got to bear down with a little bit of extra force and to help flush all that stuff out.
Yep, been doing that.
You can go to the store and get a product called Azo. That's A-Z-O. And take take a double dose.
Okay.
What I do is I use a product called Albaplex. Albaplex probably works better than anything else I've tried, but what I do is I do it differently. I have a person take two capsules every waking hour of the day. I always think if we can get the kidneys and the immune system to rise to the occasion, overcome the UTI faster, that's better than dragging it out, obviously.
Well, I've been fighting it since about Monday. So Albaplex, do I just get that at a pharmacy?
They do have it sometimes at pharmacies. The one thing that you can do very, very easily is you can consume things that will just flush all that stuff out much faster. And so if you were to go to the store, they may have, if you don't have a juicer, they have pre-made, you know, cucumber, cayenne, kale, pomegranate juice, stuff like that. One of those green juices, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Or you could just eat apples all day long just to flush all that stuff out.
Gosh, I wish I'd have known that.
Just skip all the regular food, or you could have just watermelon.
Okay.
I've seen plenty of people healed of their urinary tract infections just by doing a watermelon fast.
Okay. Well, I've been doing a lot of cucumbers, but I didn't have any watermelon.
Well.
And I do pH-balanced water, a lot of that.
A lot of times that's the first thing I'll take a person off of, because sometimes it's just too hard on the kidneys.
Oh. Okay.
And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just telling you, there's sometimes I can't get the kidneys well if they're using the high alkaline water.
Well, I do. Okay.
Also, when the water's closer to 9, I usually say, okay, let's not do that.
Okay.
I would almost prefer acidic water.
Oh.
If it was like 6.5 to almost 7.
Okay. What kind would that be?
Spring water.
Okay. All right. Got that.
Just regular plain Jane spring water where they haven't tried to add any calcium to it.
Okay. Got that.
And so another technique that you can use is just taking extra virgin coconut oil, it looks like white lard, and just rub it into the skin over the bladder. For some reason, that seems to really work well. The other thing that I like very much is garlic. Garlic is one of the best drainage remedies, along with ginger, for helping flush this stuff out. So if you had a juicer, you could actually run a little chunk of ginger on top of things like kale and green apples and cucumbers and lemons.
Okay. Well, I've got some fresh
celery.
Garlic.
Well, if you take the fresh garlic, just crush it, and if you'll swallow it, that will help clean this stuff out.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I need to know.
All right. I hope that helps a bunch.
I do baking soda water every morning. Should I get off of that?
No. If you're just taking a little bit, I think that'll be perfectly fine, like about a quarter to a half a teaspoon.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay. You're good.
Thank you much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.